Good morning. Good to see everyone this Friday morning. And I'm glad that everyone has been able to take some time out to remember what we celebrate today. The reason we celebrate on a Friday is because we can actually trace the day. We can fairly certainly trace the year, and we're coming up to 2,000 years since this event happened. It's a very significant fact about the most significant fact in all of history, the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we begin our time in the Word. We won't take long, but we will spend a few moments reflecting on the cross. Let's ask God to be with us as we do. Father, as we remember this morning, as an assembly of your body, the day when you literally walked to a hill in a city on the Mediterranean and were murdered, executed for the sins that we have committed. We talk about it often and we think about it often, but we easily forget. Gruesome, gritty historicity that you loved us enough that even though you had that feeling in the pit of your stomach, you chose to go forward. You approached that hour intentionally, deliberately, even in some respects, joyfully. We ask now this morning, as we reflect for a few moments on our texts, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, work in our hearts to remind us of the love that you have given us for you, to fan the flame of it, cause it to be pushed out into expression in our praise and our worship. And in our lives, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is John chapter 12, verse 26 to 26. There are many ways in which we could approach the cross. The one I want to focus our attention on today is this. The ethic of the cross is that losing is the only way to win. Right? Failure is the pathway to success. But letting go is the only way to
really possess. That dying is the only way to truly live. In John chapter 12, verse 24, just a few days before Jesus' death, Jesus says this to his disciples: unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The ethic of our culture today, more and more, is that only winners matter, right? Only those with power and wealth are worth treating with respect or taking seriously. That if you come to the table to negotiate, you better have the cards. And if you want a life of abundance, you have to learn to thrive, right? That's the message we get all day, every day. And over against this is the ethic of the cross. The person in history who mattered the most didn't just lose, he came for the purpose of losing. The person in history most worthy of respect and being taken seriously started his human life by laying aside his power and his wealth. He came to the table with all the cards, and he chose to fold. And Jesus gives a life of abundance, but you get it by learning to die. Why? Why did Jesus purposefully lose? Why did Jesus lay aside his power and wealth? Why did he choose to fold when he had all the cards? Why did Jesus die? For you. And for me. If you have a Bible, we'll turn over to Isaiah 53 for a few moments. We'll come back to John 12. But I want us to look briefly at Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, the prophet tells us about what he describes as the suffering servant. Have a look at verse 2 and 3, talking about the suffering servant. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Do you see it? This is not the mogging alpha from the manosphere, right? This is not a guy who would be getting a lot of followers on his socials these days. It's just not. Now listen to why he didn't come waving his cards in our face. Why he came despised, rejected, unesteemed. Here's why he came as the suffering servant for us. For us. That is, as our substitute. See it again and again and again in verse 4, 5, and 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus came to lose, to fail, to give up, to lay down, to die. Because we were full of loss and failure and lack and death. He took on himself our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquity, our chastisement, our wounds. And he did this for us, in our place, as our substitute. Jesus' death was, as we say, vicarious. It was on our behalf. It was in our place. And so the hope of the cross is in Jesus' complete failure by human standards. It was necessary for Jesus to be completely and utterly defeated by mankind, by Satan, to lay down his life, everything, to suffer the full gamut of human rejection and hate and mockery, to be crushed under the full weight of God's judgment. Have a look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 9 and 10. He continues to give us an explanation of this. He says, he had done no violence. Verse 9. And there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Let me translate that more plainly so we cannot miss the weight of it. God wanted, was pleased to crush Jesus. That's what this text just said. God wanted to crush Jesus. And you say, well, why? Why? The answer is there in the second half of verse 11. He wanted many who were doomed to bear their iniquity instead to be accounted righteous. That's why God wanted to crush Jesus. That is why Jesus had to lose. That is why Jesus had to fail to die, because in doing so, we see again at the end of verse 12, he bore the sin of many, and now he makes intercession for the transgressors. That's us, right? To do that, He had to do this. God wanted to crush Jesus so that Jesus could intercede on our behalf and bring us back to God. Anything less than to be crushed by God would have made the cross a failure. That is the point. But, because, like a seed, he fell into the dirt and died, we have hope. That's it. That's the hope of the cross. Jesus had to lose everything so we could gain everything. Back in John chapter 12. Sometime between Palm Sunday and Thursday night, last night in Passion Week, probably on the Monday, Jesus said in verse 24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He then went on, and we saw it in our reading, to talk about his hour coming. He knew what was about to happen, and he was telling us about it. Jesus continues with these countercultural, cross-shaped words in verse 25. He says, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it or guard it for eternal life. Now listen to his very next words. If anyone serves me, verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And that turns the focus to you. Right? Anyone who wants to serve Jesus, he doesn't say, run, hide, protect yourself. It's about to become dangerous to follow me. Somebody says, he says, I'm about to die. Follow me. It's not just about watching him die. We're supposed to follow him in dying. If you want to hold on to your life, the cross is not for you. If you want to live your best life now, the cross is, it's not going to be interesting to you. If you want to pursue power and wealth and winning and success in this life, the cross is not for you. If you love your life, you will lose it. But if you have learned that all of those things are so much nothing, if you've learned to die well in this life, you will have life. And verse 25 is clear. You will have life forever. Jesus is the grain of wheat which falls into the dirt and dies. And we are the fruit. You see that? But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That's us. That is hundreds of millions of people around the world today. verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that Jesus, though he knew that he was falling into the dirt and he was falling there to die, still fell into the dirt and still died. We thank you for the way that you have brought us into the multitude of the fruit of that beautiful, powerful, hopeful failure.